Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I am Matthew, and welcome to another exciting episode of Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting.
House Meeting. That is where Tom, Ben, and Matthew, or the Pappy's boys, as they are known in podcast land, get together and talk for a while about some stuff.
I like this new, you know, something a little bit sort of the world service on, you know, on the radio. It was very much, it was a very traditional intro, I thought.
It's Freshers Week.
Ah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
There's going to be a lot of people arriving.
Yep.
Saying to a group of brand new people, you got to check out this pod. It's so for us.
You're welcoming in the newbies.
They're going to be coming at it for the first time. We've got to set the table.
Well, if you are coming at it for the first time, we'd love to tell you all about our Patreon as well. Patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. Do get on and join the Patreon. Not only does it get you early tickets for our live shows, our Flatshare Slamdowns, it will also get you a bonus episode every single week, a whole bonus episode that never goes on the main feed. There's absolutely tons of them. And right now, you can sign up for 7 days for free. You can have a week's free trial. So what's holding you back?
Yeah, go check it out.
Sign up for the free 7 days. See if you like it. If you don't, no harm, no foul. If you love it, just, I guess you just don't do anything and it keeps, you know, it keeps taking £4 from your account every month, which is, come on. It's not, it's a half a pint now. Yeah. Unfortunately. Don't blame us for that. But yeah, do get onto the Patreon. We would love to see you there.
Okay, well, enjoy this pod.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
Just before we started recording, I had a near brush with. Well, I'll tell you what happened. Right, I was tidying up around the area that we're about to record.
We're talking about a literal near brush.
Yeah, I nearly brushed my hair for the first time since 2004. I thought, no, I've got to let my freak flag fly here, guys. No, never brushing the hair, never brushing the teeth. This is just the rules I live by, all right? And if you don't like it, you can fuck off like everybody else has done when they get within a couple of meters of me.
There's a reason we now record only over Zoom.
Yeah, and even now it's still becoming a problem. I can still start to get the whiff.
You can, yeah, I now walk around like Pigpen out of Peanuts. I've got like waves coming off me, like just lines coming off me.
That's your hair, isn't it?
Visible, yeah, when people think it's the hair, it's visible lines of stink. That's how, I'm actually quite a well-scrubbed and fragrant boy. But yeah, so I was tidying up the area around where we're about to record, and my daughter had been on the sofa eating little kind of fruity, sort of, they're called bear paws. I don't know if you've ever seen them before. They're little sort of flattened fruity sweets, basically. They're sort of like, you know, like they're the kind of like gateway sweets before you give kids real sweets. It's what you try and keep your kids on for as long as possible.
Edibles.
Before they find out about, yeah, no, crucially, there's no, Clarky, I know you're a drugs guy now.
What, man?
Man? Listen, I know you're one of the fabulous furry freak brothers, but but no, they're not edibles. That, you know, like, they're edibles in that they are food.
Okay.
They're edibles in
that,
you know,
food edibles.
That's what I meant, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Discuss.
Yeah.
When you're really high, Clarky.
Yeah, all foods munchies, right?
Oh boy.
All foods munchies, that's what they say. And are you high right now?
All foods munchies. Of course not.
Anyway, she'd been eating these things. There was one of them left on the sofa. I went to pop it in my gob, and just before I popped it in the gob, realised it was a dead fly.
Oh, now, mate.
So it didn't go in. It was between the fingers. It was going for the mouth. And then, of course, I recoiled in horror and threw it into the bin. I gave it the proper burial it deserved, said a small prayer, and slid the bin back into the kitchen unit. But I was thinking to myself, is a dead fly, like, is that bad a thing to eat?
They're basically bear paws, mate. That's what they're made
kind
of,
aren't they? They're natural.
We're only a few years off it. We're only a few years off it being, you know, that's what they say. That'll be our protein.
Eating insects.
Yeah, that's the future of... That's the future for us.
It's the future of us.
Who is they and who is us in this instance? Because it feels like you say us as in, like, just the three of us.
Yeah. It's our future. No one else is going to want to do it. It's gross.
We've got a new sponsor, guys, and it's Bug Paws. So let's get on board. It's like, you know, isn't it locusts and shit? And they're going to harvest them, and that's where, and then flatten them, and you have bug burgers when we can't, you know, use meat anymore.
When meat is no longer. But so, right, okay, so say, for example, if you've already stopped eating meat, and you're eating, you know, like, if I'm going to have a burger, my burger will be made out of, like, either vegetables, or it'll be made out of, like, some sort of soy protein. Mm. What do I have to eat the bugs as well? Because I've already got this.
You have to eat the bugs, mate.
You've got to go back to the bugs.
I've already got the, like, whatever soy protein is. It's just, you know, it's like stuff they've scraped off the side of some sort of industrial process. You know, it's not real food. So if I'm
that
not,
process, you know, is killing bugs, baby.
Am I eating bugs already? I just don't feel like... I feel like... Won't we still be able to eat, like, veg and that kind of stuff?
Well, they say anyway, in your sleep, in an average year, you eat 5 bug burgers. So, you know.
And if you live in London, you're never more than half a metre away from 3 bug burgers.
Yeah.
You do live near quite a lot of gastropubs. That's the problem.
The bug and burger.
How bad would it be? What would have been the, like, we're not living during the era of the plague, you know. We're not living in Victorian London when the bugs would have been carrying all kinds of different diseases, right? We're living in modern day London. What's going on inside that bug? Would it have been a problem if I had made the realization 3 or 4 seconds later?
I don't know. With flies feel inherently
dirty,
grubby. Yeah,
you're thinking of grubs, aren't you?
That'll be it. Yeah.
The witchetty fly. That's true. I suppose flies do sort of, you know,
if you're at the bug tapas, you probably want to skip the fly hors d'oeuvres.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah, the bug food guys aren't pushing flies, and I think that's for marketing reasons. You hear them talk a lot about locusts because no one really knows what's going on with them. But, you know, they're not pushing flies onto people just yet. And I think it's probably more of a marketing thing.
There's something about locusts as well, that when you think of locusts, you automatically think of a swarm of locusts. You very rarely think of 2 or 3 locusts just chilling out together. You think of a swarm of locusts, which immediately seems like a banquet. it seems like a feast, doesn't it? You think, oh, well, oh, yeah, of course, there's going to be loads of them. Because if someone said,
you go
to
one of those swarm or you can eat buffets.
But actually, when you condense those swarms, you need about three swarms to make one bug burger. It's like spinach.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
It just reduces right down. Once you've got all the moist.
There isn't a lot. There isn't a lot on those little, on those long legs, are there? They're pretty scrawny beasts.
Yeah, they're the worst kind of chicken wing substitute.
Yeah, so what you're talking about is like, it feels a little bit like a crisp, I imagine. You air fry a locust.
Right. You know, is it going to taste like, you know, they sometimes do those vegetable crisps that they have to like really oversalt because they taste of absolutely nothing, you know? Pret used to do them, and you'd open up the bag and it would be like, oh, this one's really orange because it used to be a carrot, and this one's really red because it used to be a beetroot, and they all taste of fucking cardboard. It doesn't taste of, like, you know, you get none of that. You're like, oh, I quite like the taste of carrots, I quite like the taste of beetroot. Oh, we've taken out the taste, we've taken out the texture, we've just kept the colour. You into that?
I mean, I do quite like vegetable crisps.
sorry Clarky.
As a civilization, we've essentially reached the halfway point of Hakuna Matata, basically. that's where we're at slimy yet satisfying. And I think
doesn't feel like no troubles though.
I think actually if that fly had gone down, you might have found yourself coming to a similar conclusion. Slimy but satisfying. And then you'd have the shits for 3 days. And you'd probably be saying the same thing.
And then weirdly, I would attract even more flies into the house.
Yeah.
And then the circle of life. So it's two different life. Oh,
there
we
go. Perfect.
You'd see me coming out my front door in the mornings and lifting a fly aloft above my head, like the ape at the start of the start of The Lion King, just singing the song, but just with a little fly holding it by its wings, yeah. and then yamming it into my gob.
It down. Yeah. A moment on the lips, a lifetime with the squits. That's what they say. That is what they say.
I just can't wait to be Bug Burger King.
Clarky makes a good point. And not just
he just can't wait to be Bug Burger King, and he does make a good point there, actually.
One of my best.
He makes a great point there. He just can't wait to be Bug Burger King. But the point I was actually talking about before he said,
"Oh, really?"
All right, Clarky makes a variety of good points.
Well, Clarky makes the best point in that he just can't wait to be Bug Burger King. And then I guess everything else was just building up to that point.
A variety of other points that I can take or leave. But we're talking about the bug tapas, right? What are your absolute yes, I'm going straight for it, and what are you thinking, well, I might order it for the table, but I'm not really that bothered about it. What are your kind of patatas bravas? What are you thinking? Yes, absolutely, yes please, for me. What are your garlic gambons? You know, what are the kind of classic things?
Oh yeah, cricket croquettes.
I think if you're allowed to stick in other things around it.
Oh, we've got to have a little bit. Otherwise, I'm just naming insects.
This is what I mean. I think, Clark, you make a great point, is what I mean.
Thank you.
Because the way Parry was selling us the locust burger was, it seemed like he'd got three swarms of locust and compressed them down into the shape of a burger. Yeah. And that was it. And that's what they're suggesting. But if you're allowed to sort of make, you know, will cheese still exist? Presumably not. It'll have to be like
it will exist, but it'll be made of maggots.
So you're talking we're talking about a locust burger with maggot cheese on the top. Keep talking. Keep talking, boy.
Do you think, you know how they do like crop rotations?
Yeah.
Do you think if we started now, we could like rotate foods as
like
a world?
Rotisserie?
Basically, I'm just really, I want a kebab.
You're saying if we all decided, right, okay, guys, we're having a fallow year on jelly. No one's eating any jelly.
I mean, I wasn't thinking. Oh, well, okay, Matthew, you make a bad point. Just wanna,
you know what, I respect that.
Clarky can't abide the idea of having 1 year away from jelly.
No,
yeah, he took that point very personally, actually.
He goes to a lot of kids' parties.
Fuck you, by the way, Matthew, from my cold, dead, wobbly hands.
Okay, all right, what food are you suggesting that we try and convince the world to stop eating for a year?
Because it feels like, yeah, it's in our future, we're all going to have to eat bugs. But if we go, right,
yeah,
everyone.
Yeah, okay. Guys, it's in our future, we're all going to have to eat bugs. I know you didn't used to eat animals, but now you do. And it's bugs, the worst kind of animals.
If we all go, right, for the next 5 years, let's just eat bugs. And then maybe in that time, go like, oh, there's loads of fish again, we're fine. We can do fish again for a bit. Do you think we could do that, like rotate?
Ration.
You're going to bring back rationing.
It's kind of rationing, isn't it, really, what you're talking about there?
Eco-rationing.
Yeah, but just leave a couple of food groups be for a few years. Let them replenish. And then just go after the bugs.
Do you remember when Paul McCartney tried to get meat-free Mondays off the ground and how well that went?
I don't think that was to do with the idea of meat-free Mondays. I think it was more to do with the jingle.
You can do it right now, please. Everyone remembers it. It's catchy. Right, go on. Give us, because we're not gonna start. You're not gonna be able to start with, say, everyone on the planet, or even everyone in the country gives up beef. You know, like one of the big problematic ecologically problematic foodstuffs.
Oh, it has to be. Could it just be big government?
Give up big government.
Isn't big government a nickname for someone who lives next door to you? It's a great nickname, actually.
It's not bad.
Here he comes, big government.
Big comes out.
Tell everyone what to do.
Wouldn't you do it like by street? So you go, your
street
road.
Free Mondays.
Your road, no, yeah, very nice. Your road, no beef for a year. And it's like, sure, you'll have a tough old summer where it's coming in from Stewart Road next, you know, they're rubbing it in there while they're rubbing all sorts of
sorted to it,
barbecue.
Yeah.
They're into that.
But isn't everyone just going to go over to their neighbour's house to eat beef? Aren't you going to have sort of like, it's going to be like prohibition. You're going to have like speakeasies that are just branches of Wimpy.
Yeah. And that's the problem. But like, there's no one to, you know, you'd be assigned it. You'd be like, I'm having my year off beef this year because I live on that road.
Yeah.
And then you'd be at a Stewart Road barbecue. Have you met Stewart Road, by the way? He's a lovely guy.
He lives next door to big government, doesn't he?
Yeah. I've not met him, but he sounds like a lovely guy. He's always carrying in fear.
His salad dressing's to die for. If you, if your raid is like a vegetarian would be coming to the barbecue, you know, like a vegetarian would arrive at the barbecue, but it's like, I'm on my vegetarian year.
Yeah.
So I can't partake in all of Stewart's goods, but I could do, you know, the other stuff he's put on. I could have a bug burger.
Yeah.
And then next year it's your turn. You get into the beef. So it is just based on discipline, but it's a fair point, you know. Maybe we could do that for a lot of things. You know, like Stewart Road be fucking this year. You guys, you're fat life for 12 months. I don't know why we do that one. But
it would make the people on Stewart Road who aren't fucking feel really bad about themselves. You know, like, it's like, imagine if you were going through like a fallow period that wasn't government sanctioned, as we all have in our lives at some point. You know, mine was sort of 0 to 7, and then from then on it was just wall to wall banging. But you'd feel worse, wouldn't you, if you were on your fallow period, knowing that in 6 months' time, unless you get a shifty on, you're going to go through another year that you can't do anything about unless you want to go to prison.
It's sort of part of the problem with uni was that kind of, whenever you're told you should be doing something like that, like,
yeah,
the pressure of going, oh, you're going to be, you know, like the idea of going, then you go to university and it's just sex all the way, player. And then you get there and you like go, oh God, oh no, I'm not ready for this. What's going on, player? It's kind of like, it'd be a bit like that. It'd be like, yeah, you know, oh, I can't wait till January the 1st. God, what a 12 months it's been. And then you'd be like, I don't know what to do, player.
House meeting.
How do they make bread with no wheat in?
House meeting.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Obviously, that wouldn't help the planet. Oh, yes, it would. Yes, it would.
Well, keep the population down.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, give the guys who can't have beef the sex, right? Sex or beef,
innit? Okay, this is clever. Yeah, it's so there's beef ups and downs, isn't there?
So
yeah.
it's a bit like, why go out for hamburger when you can't have steak at home?
Exactly. So you've got to go veggie for a year, pesky maybe.
Okay.
But you can be pesky but sexy.
Pesky nice. But sexy, yeah. Okay.
As what you, that'd be the kind of, and then I'm sure McCartney would be able to do something with that.
You can't do it right now, please.
And then
it's still meat free.
I think there's something in that.
Hey. We're figuring it out, guys.
Have we just saved the planet? I think we've just saved the planet.
I knew it was always going to be us.
But obviously, we all know the real problem is, you know, we'd all do it in this country, but it's China, guys. That's the problem. We can't account for China, everyone. that's the problem, is getting everyone to agree to it. Because they're having enough trouble on the cutting the carbon front. Imagine them at the big, those big climate summits.
Yeah.
The G8. Imagine trying to get them all round a table on pesky but sexy.
Imagine if we rock up to the podium, you know, and say, guys, you've got this proposal. Here's a picture of Stuart Road. Now, you don't know Stuart Road now, but you're going to know all about it because this is the Stuart Road project. These guys are fucking, but they're not eating ham sandwiches. Okay.
I can see a few of you. I'm still losing a few people here. Okay, stay in your seats. All I'm saying is beef, but no sex. Guys, why are you walking out? But fishing, you can. Come back.
Nuclear fishing. So that's tomorrow's meeting. I think it'd be quite interesting to see. It'd certainly provoke a lot of blogs. I'll say that.
And that's what we're missing.
How giving up beef made me horny as hell, but what can I do about it? you can do loads about it by our rules. That's what, you know, whatever it is. That sort of vibe.
It's a good blog. I'm not going to lie, it's a blog I'm excited to read. Adrian Charles has outdone himself once again.
Oh, Charles would have a field day. My God.
So am I allowed to fuck this hamburger or what? These rules are too confusing.
I thought I couldn't have 2 pints without putting my knob in a burger. And yet here I am with a bass. But it does feel like this is the kind of creative thinking that isn't existing at the moment around saving the old planet?
I was thinking this the other day. I was watching a clip of somebody being quite evasive about what their think tank or who funds their think tank.
I'm not going to tell you. You kept on trying to ask me, but yeah. I won't give that. I mean, like, yeah. you said I was being evasive. I'm just not going to tell you. It's my think tank.
It's not being evasive. It's just telling me to fuck off.
It's my think tank. It's me and Clarky, and no one's funding us. We do it for free.
Well, do you think we
no,
should offer
that's
our
the problem
services?
With it.
We mostly tank.
Do you tank? It's a lot of tanking.
A lot of tanking, actually.
Just a big group tank.
Which is legal.
I'm really suspicious. I'm suspicious of group tank. That sounds suspicious, like group tank to me. Do you think we could offer our services, you know, play a few of these pods to a think tank and see if they need someone to think a little bit sort of, you know, a little bit outside of the usual sphere, yeah.
I would love cards on the table. I think I'm born to think tank.
You'd be great in a think tank. I think you'd be really fantastic in a think tank.
I'd love to do it, but I think what I could do with is like a brief explanation as to what one is.
Well, here's the thing. I don't really... I've got an idea in my head of what it is. I don't really know.
No. That's it.
I concur.
We can iron these details out when we actually get to the think tank itself, right?
You can overthink. You can overthink these tanks.
It's a thinkers tank.
We're probably not far off a think tank.
I feel like it's a kind of it's like a round table. That's what I imagine. It's like a round table discussion of people who say, "Well, look, where do we need to sort of put our money, put our efforts? What do we need to advise the government? Like, you know, what do we need to advise the government on what they should be doing that's best for our backers' outlook?" I think there's not a million miles away from like think tanks and lobbyists. I sort of see as the same kind of slightly nefarious sort of thing, you know.
Do we wear robes?
I don't know if it quite goes into the kind of Masonic lodge, eyes wide shut, speed fucking type thing. But
without robes and a mask,
is it like the traitors?
I think think tank steers away from that. Lobbyists sound a bit more cloak and dagger to me.
Yeah, lobbyists are definitely like, you give us a bit of money, we'll make sure that this bill gets sort of pushed through that helps your business. That's kind of what lobbyists are. But I think the think tanks are the people who think about the things that they, you know, think about the areas of business that they should be dealing with in Parliament. Let the lobbyists get on with all this. Let the lobbyists get their hands dirty. Listen, all I'm doing is thinking. Is that like you say? There's no crime against thinking, is there?
Not yet, anyway.
Well, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Good first meeting, guys.
It feels like we'll get, you know, laminated passes.
Yeah. At the very least, yeah.
You want a lanyard for a think tank.
I'd say think tank as well is nobody's only job, right?
Right.
I'd say it's one of several jobs you have.
Okay, well, that's a problem.
We'll find you some other jobs, Clarky, don't worry. I'm sure once you join the think tank, other jobs just fall into your lap. But I think it shouldn't be a thing, you know. I think it'll be one of those things where they go, oh, he's part of this think tank, but he did, you know, 14 contact hours this calendar year. You know, like he wasn't actually there that often. Every now and then he sends an email or whatever. That's how I think of a think tank.
It sounds ideal.
I think it could be really good for us. And, you know, when we do get together, I think we'd be the kind of people who, show up every day. But when we do get together, we always come with great ideas, you know.
Can I tell you my latest one?
Yes, please.
We start a reggae night where people speak in between songs and we call it Think Skank.
Yeah.
Peter Gajard.
We're like we're the cool boys of the think tank world. Do you know what I mean?
If any three men were going to start a reggae night, it should be us, Tom.
Yeah. Clarky brings some of those plants that he likes to grow, if you know what I mean.
Cheese, guys.
I'll bring some of the tunes that I like to buy. And so then we're into think skank territory.
Crosby, bring a handful of flies.
Yes, I'll be there in the corner catching flies.
What do you think about that?
It's not bad, actually. I know I shot it down, but that's classic think tank stuff, isn't it, initially?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think any idea should be... If an idea is roundly accepted immediately, you have to get... You'd have second thoughts about that idea, right? If everyone's like, yeah, sounds like a great idea, you'd be like, oh, right. You want to get a little... Think tank thrives. It lives on pushback, right? It has to have pushback, and that's what you need. You know, it needs to have a little... It needs to have a dissenting voice. And that's what you provided for against ThinkSkank there.
You're welcome, ThinkSkank.
But you know what? Eventually, you came back around to it.
That's it.
House meeting.
Can I have a lift? I live in London.
House meeting.
Do we know who we're thinking for?
Oh.
Are they for hire? Do you know what I mean? Like, can we hire a think tank?
Well, no, I think, could we be a freelance think tank? I think that's what it should be. We should be a freelance think tank. People need us. We would show up, you know, we'd come in and we'd have a chat with the people who needed a think tank and say, look, what do you need us to think about? We'll go away. If you've got a boardroom or something, we'll go away and sit in that room for a couple of days.
Hashing
you
out.
Pay us several grand.
What's the difference between a think tank and a brain trust?
Whoa.
Oh, I don't know. What do you think of when you think of a brain trust?
I think about a think tank, I think.
And what do you think of when you think of a think tank?
What do you think when you think of a think tank?
A brain trust, of course.
When I think of a brain trust, I think of advisors, an elite group of advisors that are throwing shit.
Sitting around a table?
A lot of this involves tables.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's fair play, actually. Although maybe we're, you know, not a think skank.
No, that's a good point.
We've got a dance floor.
There might be cabaret seating around the sides.
Mm-hmm. No, the problem is, though, you offer cabaret seating and everyone just sits down. You know, you've got to get people up on a dance floor.
Not with the tunes that Parry's bought. No way.
But also, you want to be walking into that think tank on day one and going, guys, flip the tables.
Oh, yes, like the cool teacher.
Let's push those tables to the side here. This isn't 1984, guys, okay?
Are you talking about the book or the
reason we got you out of that call centre? You know, let's push those tables to the side.
This isn't room 101.
Throw your books in your bag and take them home with you.
That sentence started a lot more rebellious than it ended.
Yeah, I don't know.
Clean up after
books,
yourselves.
You know?
I think anything that involves the defacing of books moves away from the think tank and more into kind of like sort of fascist group, right?
Right.
If it's throw your books in a bin... You're only one step away from, and then set the bin.
Light the bin.
Yeah, light the bin, guys. Come on, baby, light my bin. I think, as opposed to
think skank, which is light my blunt, baby. Don't go lighting my bin. Light my bifter.
Okay, we got a slogan. Don't rip up your books unless you're making roaches.
Tom, can I ask you, is that where you get all your crazy ideas from for this think tank? Because you're smoking the Sensimilia.
There are local meetings happening in my area about traffic calming measures, which I know
I've mentioned to you in the past. Yes, you have, yeah.
But now it's moving into like impromptu meetings in church halls and shit like that. And impassioned debates, people losing their shit. And I'm very tempted to slide on into a bit of local politics and just get in there and have a few words. And then that's how it happens. And then before you know it, you're in a brain trust.
Do you have a take on these things, or are you just wanting to get in on the action?
His take is he loves fucking argy bargy. That's his take. That's all the take you need.
It's get amongst it.
I'm going to take, mate, and it'll blow your mind. The drive between my house and my mother-in-law's house has doubled in length since the traffic calming measures have been brought in. Doubled. And I approve.
Oh, Captain, my Captain. I don't know if you want me to burn this book, but it's on fire.
Brain trust. You just got think tanked, boy. I'm a think tank boy, yeah, boy. I mean, that's how it happens. Good. Suddenly, I've blown everyone's minds
with some Les Dawson material from 1972.
Oh, well, hang on. Oh yeah, see now. He reads like a mother-in-law joke. Yeah, okay.
It does. It very much reads like a mother-in-law joke.
I've come unstuck there. It's not a yeah. Okay.
I think it wouldn't matter if Les Dawson had started playing reggae on the piano afterwards. It would still be a mother-in-law joke.
This think tank just became a writing room. No, okay, sorry.
That piano is broken. It is all over the place.
Okay, so this is good. It's good to have workshopped this. I won't say mother-in-law.
Yes.
I'll say trusted family member.
I think the second you make it a family member, people think that you want to take a long time to get there or you can't be bothered to go and see them. I think you've got to make it something innocuous like the high streets, you know? So that people aren't thinking, oh, it's because he doesn't want to see them in the first place.
Mm. What about if I say beloved friend?
Go on. All right. Okay, Tom. Okay, we'll imagine the scenario.
All right. Welcome to the think tank.
This is the argy bargy local politics meeting. Okay.
Right.
All right. Okay. We have to have a little bit of order here. Okay. A little bit of order. All right. Okay. Yes, Tom. I know you've got a lot you want to say on this.
Sim.
Okay, Tom. Tom Power, everybody. And can we have a little bit of respect here when Tom's speaking? Okay, Tom has the floor. All right. Here we go.
Thank you, everyone. Well,
fuck up, Baldy.
All right, okay, listen, I've told you, Alan's iPad. Whoa. I have the authority to kick you out, okay?
Whoa.
You have no authority here.
Thank you, Stuart Road. So, we had the same problem when we brought in Pesky but Sexy. You said it was big government. We all know big government lives next door to Ben now. Anyway, I just wanted to say, I live 4 minutes away from a beloved family friend.
You've had your time, Tom. I'm so sorry. You've had your time.
Don't eat more than two brownies, man, because
I think I've been talking for about 45 minutes.
Walking on the beaches, talking at the beaches. Okay.
All right. I think there's a good reason you can't go into politics, Tom.
He's talking at the beaches, guys.
He's walking on the beaches, talking at the beaches. Tom, how do you feel that went?
Let's wait for the votes to come in.
Okay. So what are we voting on now? Whether or not to keep the traffic calming. Keep the traffic calming.
Beloved friends.
Beloved friend. I think the poll is, did you believe the beloved friend was my mother-in-law? That's the confusing question that's on the ballot.
Do you believe the beloved friend is Tom's mother-in-law? Okay. All right.
We could make it multiple choice.
Okay, go. We could
be
the
like, was the beloved friend A, Tom's mother-in-law, B, the bass player in his reggae band, or C, Stuart Road, the best barbecuer in town?
It's very rare that the ballot is spoiled before anyone gets to write on it. But in this instance, I'd say I've got no idea how to vote. Tom, what was your point going to be? I know you stopped halfway through after you got misty-eyed about your beloved friend. And I know you're very close to your mother-in-law and you don't want to say a word against her. She's a lovely woman.
So that I'm that powerful a performer that I really need to imbue the sense of this friend being beloved, you know?
You were moved by your own performance there, weren't you?
Once again.
Once again.
It's why I don't listen back to the pod.
Yeah, I always cry as well.
Yeah, well, I agree.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, well, he's got one vote at least.
I just feel like I'd like to get in there and see, you want to see like, oh, could, is there something going on here? Could I say something here? You want to see who you're up against and go, yeah. I wonder if I could say something here.
Yeah, I guess yeah. You don't know. You get in the room and be like, oh, I don't like him. I'm going to say something against him. And away you go.
I think that's, yeah. So each week you go along, you just sort of get the lay of the land. And it becomes almost the moment in the town meeting when everyone goes, oh, here he comes. Tom's going to say something. And it's really going to put the cat amongst the pigeons. You know, what will happen is the sort of the timid and slightly harangued guy who has to corral everybody together and make sure the meeting runs smoothly will go, well, I think that's everything. If we're ready to vote, and you will bang your staff on the floor of the town hall like three times, you know, you'll have a cowboy hat on, or you know, some sort of like peacocking affectation going on, you know, some sort of thing, you know, you'll use the staff to push the 10 gallon hat up your head a little bit, you know, just, and then you'll say, if I could say a few words, and there'd be like sort of hushed murmurings, and then you would stroll up to the lectern and you would wax lyrical about your beloved friend. I feel like you could make something of yourself. You could become a local hero.
Pillar of the community.
A pillar of the community.
Thin line between local hero and local character.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
always.
True. That's true. But it's a line I think you can tread. I think it's, you know, it's a tightrope you can walk. I don't think you've got enough character to be a local character.
Thank you.
No. I genuinely think you've got.
I know the local enough. Not for the character.
I mean, famously, we were never good at doing characters. You'd just be like ordinary man with slightly lower voice.
I have to commute for 15 minutes to the place where I'm trying to be a local character. They find out, and I am done.
No one's heard of Stuart Road. It's miles away.
He is a non-local character. You can't trust that guy. Just travelling from county to county looking for beefs that I can get involved in.
Have you been to any of these meetings already? Have you sat in the back? Or
no, there were two last week and I'm just too busy, boringly enough, to go. But I dip into the Facebook. I don't make comments on the I'm just, you know, it's just
observing.
You're a lurker on the Facebook,
biding your time.
I know. Yeah. Oh, and then I go out at night and smash at the Ballards. So there's that. There's like,
well, that's what you're busy doing, isn't it?
Small vigilante group.
I'm too busy. I'm waiting for everyone to be in the same town hall, and then I can smash the fuck out of
Stuart
these.
Rhodes go out. I can tool up people's cars at the cup.
Burn a few planters. Yeah. There is that.
There's some speed cameras.
But not been to a meeting yet, no. My main beef is it's doubled the length of my journey to my beloved friend's house, do you know what I mean? If I go to the meeting to tell people that, I'll start being the suspect number one. I keep being dumb.
House meeting!
I live in a house made of iron sheeting.
House meeting!
There you go.
There you go, folks. Yes, I think, you know, I think it might be time to rename Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting to Pappy's Flatshare Think Tank.
I like it, actually.
Because it works, doesn't it? It really does work for what we're trying to do. Mm. If anyone knows what a think tank is, do get in touch.
If you're a listener, dear, who works for a think tank, get in touch.
Get us in there, man.
Have you ever been in a brain trust?
Yes.
Do you know what a slush fund is? Get in touch.
Get in touch.
That's it. I mean, and just if you are, you know anyone who is, just play them this episode. I'm sure they'll sign us up in a second.
Okay. Sorted. Lovely. Well, today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.